Man, I love teaching at these things because every time, by the time I get up here, I go, I don't even need to teach anymore. Like, it's just done. I mean, and every time I hear a testimony from someone in our church, I just sit there. I go, God, thank you that this is my brother. Thank you that I get to serve next to this guy. Don't you feel like every time someone gives a testimony, don't you just feel grateful? Like, man, I'm so glad this guy's in my church. I'm so glad she's a part of this church. And it's just something that God's doing. I mean, no one can take credit for this. And the thing I love about Nate, everyone that knows Nate knows that, man, that guy's a servant. And that's so key in this process of life that God's put us in as believers. Otherwise, we'll sit back in our church services and go, I didn't like this. These people don't treat me right. Not enough people greeted me. It's like, who do you think you are? Man, what do? You know, like, did you ever think maybe you should greet someone now that you've been here a few months? You ever think maybe you should, you know, you've got the spirit in you, you be a giver? That's why I love, you know, having, you know, people visit and talk about safe families. And I just go, man, that's what we're all about. It's not like you got to talk anyone into it. A lot of us, we're chomping at the bit. This morning I was even praying, oh, God, what's next for us? What's the next thing for me and my family? You know, what are we going to go after? So glad he's in our church. He's playing fetch while I'm speaking. It's awesome. But I just love, it's just down to earth, and it's not like I feel like, oh, I better nail this 40-minute sermon. It's like, no, just get up there and say what's on your heart. We've all been studying the Word of God together, right? And that's the cool thing too, coming knowing you guys have read up on the Word of God. You've had time alone with God. We've been going through the same passages of Scripture together. If you're not a part of that, man, go to readscripture.org or go to the App Store and just download Read Scripture and join with us, because the whole thing is not about one guy teaching you the Word of God. It's about you being alone with God every single day. We want you to know Him. Man, I don't want my kids, you know, just learning, you know, just mooching off of me for the rest of my life, right? I want my kids, raise them up to where they can stand on their own 2 feet. And that's what this is all about. Every time I get together with the pastors here, I look around the room, I go, this is so cool. You know, I grew up like 20 guys I just love like crazy. And I think, man, they can all stand on their own 2 feet. They could be dropped off in any city and just start their own gathering. And that's our desire for everyone, that no matter where you are, you don't go, oh, I can't find a good church. But it's like, no, you know how to get in the Word for yourself. You know how to make disciples. You know how to baptize. You know, you could start your own gathering, you know, if you're elder qualified. I mean, last week it was cool, Disco, what's your real name? Matt, that's right. Matt, goes by Disco, easier to remember. You know, he just got baptized last week. It was so cool just hearing his testimony and a lot, yeah. A lot of things happen in different homes that you don't get to be a part of. You don't get to see, you know, like the wedding yesterday with April and De Niro. Some of you were there, and just to see Sean walk April up the aisle and seeing, Carter being pulled on a wagon up front, you know. And I remember when April came here and pregnant and kind of lost and just going, man, what do I do? You know, I this guy that I'm with, he doesn't know the Lord. Maybe if he's around some of you. And then to do their wedding yesterday and see him making his vows and saying, I promise you, I will love Jesus more than you. And I will love Jesus more than anything. That's my vow to you. And I'm going to lead you in that way. And to go, God, why are you so good to us? Why are you so good to us? You know, to come here pregnant, lost, confused, and to see this life that was started yesterday. And last week to see, you know, Disco baptized when he showed up a few months ago with 2 six-packs in his hand going, is this where, you know, it's just, you know, and now for the Lord to come into his life. And it's like, man, right on. I mean, that's no lie. That's not an exaggeration. I mean, he came in with a 12-pack just, you know, thinking, hey, I'm here for whatever you want, angel, you know, at his house. And it's like, well, actually, you know, we're going to pray tonight. And I just love this. I mean, you guys soak it in right now. Okay, this is what you got to remember when times are good. Okay, when you're walking with God, because the enemy is so crafty, isn't he? And he's going to get you to forget about times like this. And suddenly, you know, there's going to be a temptation that comes into your life where you block everything else out and all of this goodness. That's why I always had people, man, set up this monument, set up some rocks here to remind you of everything that I did. Do this, do this. That's why he has us break bread. Every time we get together, break bread so you remember, you remember, you remember. But, you know, the older you get, you'll see you just start just soaking in the process rather than, okay, when I get here, when I get here, when I, and you just go, no, you know what, right now, that's pretty good, okay? It's not perfect, but right now it's good for a lot of us. We're walking with the Lord. We're amongst a body of believers who, man, seem like the real thing. And every time you hear the testimony, you just go, man, God, this is so good, so good, so good. But thanks, Nate, man. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for being my brother. Man, I love you. I'm so grateful that you're a part of this. Man, seriously. And I love how, you know, you mentioned, you look around and it's like the oddest conglomeration of people, right? That we would not normally hang out with each other. And yet because of Christ, we're crazy about each other, you know? And we hear testimonies from people that are so different from us, and yet there's something in you, because the Spirit's in you, the Spirit's in him. You just go, I love him. Man, what does he need? I'll give you the shirt off my back, you know? What? And that's what Christ has done in us, and I just praise him for that. You know, this morning I was, I'm not going to finish my sermon, and I just got a couple thoughts. This morning I was reading a passage, and we were reading Matthew this morning, and there was a passage in Matthew 11 that I just wanted to share because it, honestly, you know, there's passages where I'm just like, wow, I'm so excited. You know, I feel so loved. I feel so secure. And then there's other passages like, ooh, that one's kind of scary, you know, and it just hits you differently. And sometimes you gloss over these passages, but this morning's passage scared me a little bit, maybe just because some things that are going on in life, but I just wanted to read it. It was in Matthew 11, you know, after Jesus sent the disciples out, even gave them power to do miracles. This is after Jesus was doing miracle after miracle. Did you see that? You know, chapters 8, 9, 10, it's just like, boom, 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 boom. Man, I'm going to heal this guy. I'm going to calm the storm. I'm going to get paralytic. I'm going to this, this, this. All these miracles, even as disciples are sent out, and they're performing miracles. And then in chapter 11, in verse 20, it says, then Jesus began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable in the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You'll be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. Let me tell you why this passage scared me. Jesus did some amazing things in these cities, and the people saw them. And they still didn't turn from their sin. And Jesus goes, man, do you understand? You have the greatest opportunity. You saw miracles. You saw God himself work. And then you're still going to walk away? He goes, it's going to be worse for you on judgment day because of everything you got to experience. We know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where the fire just came and the sulfur and just destroyed the whole city. And he talks about their judgment. He goes, hey, for you, it's going to be worse because they didn't get to experience the miracles you got to experience. And it's the same thing like he says in Romans 2, verses 4 and 5. He says it's the kindness of God that should lead you to repentance. But he goes, but because of your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of judgment. You know, sometimes we just think heaven, hell, and yet I'm saying the Bible teaches more than that. There's degrees of reward in heaven, and there's degrees of punishment where Jesus says, you know what, it's going to be worse for these people because they got to see something. they got to experience something and still walk away. And the kindness should lead us to repentance. Some of you guys know it's been a tough week for me. Our daughter that we adopted and lived with us for a couple years decided to leave the home. And it's just weird being here and she's not sitting next to me, you know? And then it's really hard reading passages like that where you go, man, I don't know what more love we could have shown. Like I'm racking my brain, is there anything more we could have done? And you know, you always do that, right? When someone leaves, you guys feel it all the time, like at the men's home, the women's home. You feel it in your lives when you just did everything you felt like you knew to do and they walk away and there's a part of you that goes nuts. But more than that, there's a fear because you go, man, don't you see the patience of God? Don't you see the kindness of God? Don't you see He offered you the world and you walked away? You know, and my fear is, you know, like Judas, remember Judas? I mean, he got to see all these miracles. And then there was this little bag of silver, right? 30 pieces of silver. And it's like, ah, I could have that. I could have that. Were you going to ditch everything? The Son of God, all these miracles, everything you've seen? And what happens once he got that bag of silver? He's sitting there and he just throws it back in the temple. Like, what did I do? I traded the Son of God and all of this. Everything I had for this bag of silver. I don't even want this anymore. And he just goes nuts. And that's, man, how many times have we done this? Some of us have done that, right? We gave everything up for a little pill. Or a guy or a girl, and then once you get him, once you get her, once you have that high, you're going, man, I gave everything up for this. This is stupid. And not only that, that's the temporary stuff. Then there's eternity where you go, man, the day of judgment is going to be worse for those of us who got to experience something. And I wanted to share this with you guys today, the ones that are here, because some of you are going to leave. Man, Satan's going to throw something at you. He's going to say, man, look at this guy. He can offer you security. He can offer you this. He can offer you that. Or look at this girl. Man, she can bring some excitement into your life. Man, how about this addiction? How about this group of friends? How about this money? Aren't you sick of living with a bunch of girls in a house? Aren't you guys tired of being crowded into a room? Man, you can escape all of that right now. Just walk over. Jesus is going to tempt, the Satan's going to tempt you. And Jesus at that time is going to be like, not enough for you. Man, and it's just sad. Know that the kindness of the Lord, Jesus was so kind to you. Man, I love you talking about Pastor G, who was so kind to you. And he's passed away about a month ago. That kindness led you to repentance, just like Jesus did, and he brought different people in your lives for that reason. You know, there's just one verse I want to turn to from the Old Testament reading, too, that I want to hit, and then we're done, or I'm done. You know, there was a story in 2 Chronicles that I thought, man, this is so us in many ways. Thank you. 2 Chronicles, it's a story of King Uzziah. Okay, and there's just two verses in there that, man, I feel like we need to memorize. Okay, you know how when the kings, it just shows different guys. There were those who didn't follow Jesus, didn't follow God, didn't follow the commands, and they just took Israel down, right? And then there were other ones that sought him with their whole heart, and you see these miracles. And then you had others that are going back and forth. Well, King Uzziah was a really interesting king because he was king for 52 years. That's a long time. 52 years to be king. And it says he was an awesome king. He was killing it. I mean, there were no wars. I mean, whenever there was a war, you take care of it. I mean, just they were at peace. Judah was doing real well during his time. But then listen to this verse in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 15, at the second half of the verse, his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped. Okay, listen to that. His fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped. And if you read about his, I mean, miracles, like God. So everyone heard about this guy. But I love that phrase, marvelously helped. Okay, but listen. His fame spread far. Why? For he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. Oh my gosh, is that a warning for all of us? It's like, man, this guy became something. Why? Because he was marvelously helped. Because God says, I'm going to pick this guy because he's going after me. I'm just going to do crazy things through him. It wasn't because Uzziah was anything great. He was marvelously helped. It's like if I pick two of you and said, okay, you're going to play 2-on-2 basketball against me and LeBron James. And I go walking after, yeah, what's up? You know, you didn't do anything. You stood there. You passed the ball. You did nothing. What are you bragging about? And that was King Uzziah. Why was he so great? Why did his fame go everywhere? Because he was marvelously helped. Till he was strong. But when he became strong, he became proud to his destruction. How many times have we seen that? Someone's at their bottom, going, come on, help me, help me. I just need help, God. Then you get a little money in your pocket. Oh, you got a job now? You're good? Oh, you're good now. You got a job. Wow, worker. Right? And you start going, oh, okay, I can make money now. I don't need this. I don't need that. And you get proud, and guess what? It's going to take you to your destruction. Man, I say this because some of you are doing pretty well right now for yourselves in the world standards. You got a neat job. You got a cool car. You maybe even have money for retirement. Man, good job, guys. You proud of that? You're good now? You're no longer at the bottom? You don't need him anymore? That's why I love what the guy in Proverbs 31, he goes, God, promise me you don't make me rich. He goes, don't make me so poor to where I need to beg, but also don't make me rich where I'll have all this stuff and I'll forget all about you. Just give me enough to make it through every day. Man, that's wisdom right there. Because he goes, I don't want to be like Uzziah, where he got, oh, I'm good now. I don't want to be like King Asa, where I'm good now. And you see these kings, once they got okay, once they got to a level of comfort, they forgot all about their God. And God says, really, you're going to take glory for all of that. Man, please, you guys, if you ever see me going, look what I did. Seriously, in any subtle way, please call me out on this. Man, I'm a man, I'm human. And there'll be times when I'll say, well, you know, I figured this out, so I started doing this, and da-da-da-da-da. Look what I built. And when that happens, bam, you're gonna go down so quickly. Please calm me down. Please love me enough to where when you see a little pride in me and wanting to take credit for anything Francis did, call me out. That's not the way I want to end my life. He got struck with leprosy and it was over with. And that's the way he died. King Asa got some disease in his feet and it was over with. Hezekiah did the same thing. He was awesome, but then it says in the next verse, but then he humbled himself. He got arrogant, but then he humbled himself. It's like, okay, that's more like me. I'll get there, because I'll go there. And that's why it's so important for us to get alone every day with the Lord. I'm telling you, every morning I go in my little prayer room and just get alone with God. I look over my actions and go, God, did I try to bring glory to me or to you? Okay? Because I don't want to steal your glory. The one thing I don't want to do is be arrogant. I want to constantly say, God, I need you. I need you. I need you. The only good thing in my life is the fact that I know God. That's it. That's what Jeremiah 9, I think it's 24, he says, let him who boasts in this, that he knows and understands me. See, we need to brag. I mean, maybe some of you are just naturally humble, but some of us, we're not. Okay, and we just need an outlet. And he goes, you want to brag? Brag that you know me. Because that's the only thing worth bragging about. And I will say, amidst the hard weeks, God shows himself. And you go, wow, shut up. You just heard my prayer again. You're so good to me. Why do you listen to me like that? Why do you listen to me? Why do you stay there with him? Why even during the worst times do you just show your power? And why do you, you know, just throw another blessing in my life? Just because you know me. You guys, when I pray, stuff happens. That's what I can brag about. It's like I know him. It's crazy. It is crazy how I pray and how he listens and how he responds. Other than that, man, there's not much to me, okay? A lot of you guys know me. I mean, you know, even yesterday, you know, at the wedding or whatever, the reception, you know, I was leaving and Liz, where's Liz? Liz just kind of commented and go, gosh, you're so awkward. You know, just like socially, you're like a socially awkward person. And I'm like, oh, thanks, Liz. You know, there's just not, you know, there's so many things where I go, well, I'm not great at this. You know, you're trying to memorize stuff, and I think my mind's still all there. And that's like, okay, we're walking through a museum with my 16-year-old daughter, and she's having to explain everything to me. And I'm like, wait, what happened? Who fought in World War I? You know, it's just my mind's not there. Obviously, I'm socially awkward. But you know what I can brag about? I know him. You know? And he listens to me. And he's forgiven me. He's my father. I can call him dad. Like we read this week, I ask him, and he answers. And he says, wait, if you ask me for a fish, I'm not going to give you a scorpion. You ask for bread, I'm not going to give you a rock. You're my son, Francis. And that's all I can boast about, is I'm a child of God. And I hope that's true of you, that you know him. This is not about just doing good deeds. I want you all to know him. That's why I want you alone with him in the word, because you can sing along with all of us. You can listen to a sermon. Anyone can listen to a sermon. But when you're alone, do you know him? You know where you go, I'm good. Drop me off anywhere on this earth. I'll be okay. Throw me in a prison cell. Throw me in a jungle. Throw me wherever. Because God's with me. He hears me. He knows me. And look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil or spin. And yet God marvelously helps them and takes care of them. And so if you're here today and you don't have this knowledge of him, like you know stuff about him, but you don't know him, man, talk to one of us. Talk to someone around you right now. You don't need me. Get alone with God, because you want to be like that king that knows him. And those of you who've gotten cocky, man, it's time to repent of that. It's going to lead to your destruction. Pride always leads to a fall. I've seen it over and over and over again. But God is good. Even amidst the tough weeks, good weeks, bad weeks, we're not immune to that. None of us are. But God is good. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for this body. I love these people. I love this church that you have built. I never would have assembled this group, but you made this group way beyond anything I imagined. And I thank you. I thank you for the love in this circle all through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us a love for others. And thank you for Jesus, whom we celebrate today. It's in his name we pray.